is risen. Hallelujah. Father, show us your heart. Show us the amazing love you have for us sinners. We ask this through Jesus Christ, that sacrificed Lamb of God for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Beloved, what I want to do today is transport you back to a hill in outside of Capernaum. A hill where Jesus did that amazing thing in Matthew 5 that we call the Sermon on the Mount. And when he begins the Sermon on the Mount, he begins, well, just imagine for a moment, Jesus, don't look at me, imagine Jesus is up here on the hill. And he's had everybody sit down, and he begins with those words from the Beatitudes, blessed are you. Blessed are you who mourn, for you will be comforted. And he goes through all those amazing blessed that God, that it's a gift that God gives us, that things that we can't overcome, only he can overcome. Then the next thing he says was last Sunday's text. You are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill should not be hid. So let your light shine before others that they might see your good work. Give glory to your Father in heaven. And then comes today's text. Listen. You've heard it was said of old, you should not murder. But whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who's angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come quickly and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser where you're going into court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away, for it's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, everyone who divorces his wife, except for the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you've heard it said of old, you should not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head. You cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you simply say be yes and no. Anything more comes from evil. What did those words evoke in you? How did you feel? The law of God cuts to the heart. It simply says you're a sinner. You deserve nothing but hell. You're guilty. Shame on you. How does that feel? We don't measure up to God's standards. We don't do, think, or even care as He does. That leads to a couple different things. One, it can be guilt, that I truly am understand what I failed before God. We saw David there when he said, "I've sinned against God," after killing, having Uriah killed and having adultery with Bathsheba. It can lead to shame. I don't want anyone to see my sin. I don't want them to view me and judge me. Sometimes that shame leads to depression, terrible things. The other thing, way to look at it, and this is the way often the world does, sometimes we do too, is that Jesus doesn't know what He's talking about. What do you mean, look at a woman? Everybody does. What do you mean, say fool? There are fools out there. I can have righteous anger. And He doesn't really mean pluck out your eye or cut off your hand. He isn't that serious about sin. Yes, He is. God hates sin and all its forms. He made hell for those people who sinned and were sinners. Well, first He made it for the devil, and then assigned it to all those who'd follow Him. Just letting that sink in for a minute. God is that serious about the law. In fact, God is just. Absolutely just. He can't say to you and me, "That's okay." The way we might say to our child, "It's all right. You didn't really mean that. It wasn't that bad." No, God must punish sin. Otherwise, He wouldn't be God. God's holiness, His total otherness from us, is that sin is something that doesn't come near Him. Not in thought, not in word, and not in deed. That's why Jesus came. He came to fix that problem. Excuse me. A fix that we could not do. A change that we could not make. No matter how hard we try to follow God's law, we fall down. Try not to think of others in a bad way this next week. Try to love others as God would have you love them. Instead of justifying that person I don't need to love because... Try to think of others more highly than yourself. You'll find that you fall down over and over again. Jesus came to fix that. Before the Sermon on the Mount, the first thing it says about Jesus is He went around from village to village and preached, "Repent and believe the gospel." Recognize your sin. Recognize that you're separated from God, and then know that I have come to overcome that. The Messiah have come for that purpose. And that God Himself will take away your sin. I read an account that just crushed me yesterday. And bear with me in this one. It's kind of sad to begin with. It was a young boy, 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there, maybe even 13. And he got caught up with someone else who had some evil intent and said to him, we're going to go to the park and kill some people. And he went with him. And they tricked a young boy who was challenged mentally. And when they got him out to the other boy took a rock and began to pound on him and kill him. And he was going to stop his friend, but he looked at his friend and he saw nothing but murder in his eyes. He realized he might get it too, so he kind of went along with and realized the boy was already dead, whacked him a couple times himself. They were both caught. He admitted his guilt. This is the one who just went along. And the judge gave the young man 14 years in prison. To which it didn't go well for a while with him. He was pretty angry about life. Ended up being close to 20 before he got out. But he had paid his price to society. Probably not the price those parents wanted to have paid. But he paid the price. But in the midst of it, somewhere along the line, he came to know Jesus Christ. There he tells an account of falling to his knees, admitting his wretchedness and realizing the forgiveness of Christ covered his sins. Didn't pay for his crime, but covered his sins. And he goes on to explain how he wanted to help the helpless, to help those who couldn't help themselves. And the most helpless that he saw were babies who were being aborted. Amazing testimony of this young man. So I thought I'd read the comments below. In the comments below, people who didn't know Jesus vilified him. They said things, you deserve to die. You're a murderer. How dare, I don't want a God who would forgive something like that. And it went on and on and on and on with comment after comment. Filled with hatred. The world hates the gospel. Because only in the gospel do we know that my sins are forgiven. It's only in the gospel that I can understand I can't get to God without Him. The law of God, His holiness, only comes to us by a gift. God, I have a Bible up here. Hang on, I got one. There it is. We've been studying the book of Revelation. In fact, we're done now with it, and we're moving on to 1 John. But in the last chapter of the book of Revelation, God speaks of those on the outside, speaks of those who are separated from Him eternally. I'll get there. He's got all this good stuff in the back of his Bible. There we go, Revelation 20. Oh, there it is. After God says in chapter 21 about how blessed we are, how our forgiveness, that will be no pain, no death, and He said, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, they may enter the city of the gates, by the gates. That's those who believe. He says this, outside of the dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. Or in one text it says, and all liars. In the midst of all those terrible things, it puts that one word, liar. If we're honest today, we have to admit we have lied. Sometimes to God, sometimes to one another. Sometimes we've added to that lie in order that others wouldn't see that we've lied, and we've added to it until the shame built up to the point where we couldn't even comprehend how to get out. St. Paul in his book to Romans says, "O wretched man that I am." He recognizes that before God and before his holiness, there is nothing I can do. But then he says these amazing words, "But thanks be to God who gives me the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Thanks be to God. That is our only victory. That is our only life. And it's only in his gift that we have that. When Jesus says those words on Sermon on the Mount, he wants us to look at our sin, to recognize it's only him, only his righteousness, only his forgiveness that gets us into eternity. May God grant you that faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, who through his blood made everlasting last will and testament, equip you with every good thing you need to do what he wants us to do, working in us through Jesus Christ, that which pleases him to be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We now continue by confessing our